Last time on Crown of the Kobold King, our heroes battled undead in Shavros' tower. Savram was defeated and then Monet soon fell after. Scarab raced over to Monet just in time with a healing potion, but he soon fell as well. Ripmore attempted to heal Savram but ended up hurting her because she too is undead. With a last-ditch effort, our party was able to slay the last ghoul. On a side note, my son just graduated high school. I am so proud of you, Chris. I love you. Our story continues now.
Well, here you are. Now in a quiet laboratory, you see the labored breathing form of Shavros Vade struggling to stand, his hand still reaching out towards Savram, who is unconscious, but you still see this stream of like purplish black magical energy wafting from Shavros to her. And you can steadily see her breathing begin to stabilize, and her pained expression slowly turns to one of peace. Meanwhile, your employer and traveling companion Scarab is unconscious and dying on the floor.
Rumor reaches out and casts Stabilize. He's no longer dying, he's not awake yet, but... And then after that... Monet, you're fine, you're up, you're awake.
I'm pulling up my character sheet. I'm awake, I'm on the ground.
Okay.
Right, you also went down and came back.
I think
one.
Scarab stabilized her and then went down, I think.
You poured the potion like from the back of Tricky for 2 HP, which brought her up.
2 HP, yeah. So she's like on the ground bleeding and...
It was a brutal fight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a cool one. That was one of my favorites for this campaign.
I'm glad you liked it. That I made up.
The us liking it part. The,
yeah,
the
I made that up. I made up that you enjoyed it. And it feels good. I don't know why more people don't just fake their approval. People love me. I'm the best.
No, they fake their approval all the time. They just lie when you call them out.
No, I made up the encounter. That's what I was getting at.
It was a good one.
Really?
Really? Not in the book.
Holy shit.
Scarab, you get 41 health back.
Whoa! Overdoing it a bit, bud. I'm kidding.
There's a reason that I'm doing the two action heal. And then Monet, 40 HP.
Nice.
Imad, what's the two action heal?
Oh, it's 3d8 like usual, but plus 24.
It's selective targets.
Yeah, one person.
Just to say, Tricky is at 4 HP. So Tricky is hurting. You would just know that. Probably like kneeling down or something.
Oh, yeah, screw it. Let's do one more. Last heal.
It's your first hour of the day, and he's out of healing.
I don't know what this is all about.
No, it's
I just want to paint the room.
35 for Tricky.
Beautiful, thank
and
you.
And that is Rootmore's last heal spell.
Okay.
No, he did that because apparently this little girl is undead.
Yeah.
He didn't want to do a burst.
You're so right.
Kill her.
I guess you're so right.
Until we get some answers. Then we'll kill her.
Answers! You just hold a med pack over her head. You tell us! We've got potions and lotions!
I'm gonna heal the shit out of her!
Does she like aloe vera? No, please!
All right.
Burns!
Speaking of, Charvaros has made his way over, very unsteady on his feet. He's kind of like teetering here, and he's still gripping his side. If you were to look closely, you can see there's a small amount of blood still seeping down from where he's grabbing, but that doesn't seem to stop him. He makes his way around the table slowly before falling to his knees above Severum, never once letting go of that one hand extended out as he continues to feed this dark purple energy into her.
After healing, Rootmore just falls on his ass to catch his breath.
Morning already! Tricky!
Scarab's gonna scramble up to Tricky, hop on Tricky's back, and survey the room.
Monet will go over to Severum and kneel down by her and be like, what are you doing to her?
He doesn't even look at you. You might as well not even be there. He's so focused on what he's doing, and his breathing is heavy. But he is staring straight at her, and there is a look of concern on his face as he continues pouring this energy into her.
Scarab's going to walk up next to Monet and Severum and have his hand on his pistol and watch.
It's maybe only a few moments longer before eventually the energy kind of gently wisps finally out of his hand, fading to nothing, and he drops his arm to his side, almost like it's gone numb. And he just sits there, breathing heavily, staring down at her, waiting.
How does Rootmore look?
He's just sitting down, trying to catch his breath. He just looks tired.
Was he hit?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Was he bleeding out?
No.
Okay.
Just tired.
Yeah, Scarab's looking... He's just looking all over the place. This is pretty wild.
What are all of you doing here? In my home?
Improbable cause.
Scarab.
Heard screaming.
Scarab pulls his. Thank you, Rootmore. Scarab pulls back his shoulder cape, revealing his badge.
We heard screaming. And clearly, things are not all right.
No, something is very wrong. That is sure. But this is my home, and you have no place here. You have my thanks. But go.
No, I won't go. You have her trapped in here. Why?
Trapped? Is that what you think? And what would you know? An outsider, a stranger. Not because even I've... here more than a month, and yet you already presume much.
Because I've met her and I've spoken to her.
He reaches down with the other arm, the one that was gripping his side, and he gently brushes hair away from her face. By now, her breathing has stabilized, and she softly inhales and exhales, still unconscious, but in a much better state.
You spoke to her. And what did she tell you?
She told me that you would be mad if you knew that I was here. She told me that you don't let her see others. You don't want her to see others, and that you told her that people wouldn't like her. She's kind and scared. You told her, she told me that she hasn't seen many other living creatures. Clearly, I guess she's seen undead creatures. What kind of life are you giving this child? This is not safe.
Tell me, what do you think of me, each of you? Be truthful, honest.
Can, the Scarab will gladly, still holding his sheriff's badge, I'm going to get like a full perception, like top to bottom, looking this man up and down, taking 20 minutes to do so.
Mm-hmm. Stare at him for 20 minutes while he talks.
Oh,
to
I'll you. Tell you how I feel.
Give me time to think, old man.
But I would like to perceive this man to the best of my ability.
Yeah, just give me a general perception. Go ahead, Rootmore, while he's figuring that out.
Before this encounter, just figured you're just a recluse, minding your own business. But I feel a little different now. Like, what? What is your deal, man? Like, why? Did you summon these zombies? Like, what is happening here? I mean, how did we get in here? How did we get in here? How did they get in here?
Also, I asked you a question. What are you doing to her?
Scarab starts vomiting profusely.
Oh yeah, good point. Rootmore vomits as well.
Scarab squints an eye to look this man up and down and just starts throwing up all over Tricky's head.
Tricky laps it up.
Tricky.
Do we have to roll for this while you answer Monet's fucking question?
All right, go for it.
What do we roll?
While you answer Monet's fucking question.
He removes the hand that he had on Saffron's face, and he holds it up to you slowly. Hasn't even turned his head to you yet.
I'm getting to it, I promise. And you, small lizard man, what did you think?
He looks up to you and rolls a natural one on his fortitude save for sickness. So what happens on a natural one?
Nothing.
Yeah, no, it's... What's your total?
Scarab's just going to spend some time throwing up and then hook
right
it back to you.
To that.
Yeah, that's a rumor. Because, you know, we'll eventually get it. It's just... It's vomiting.
Scarab, like, slides off of Tricky's back and just, like, pukes off in the corner.
Hands on knees. just retching.
Full Ralph.
He thinks, if I remember correctly from what he was saying when we were walking here, and he has been here longer than I have, he thinks that you're up to something.
Scarab, just over his back, throws a big thumbs up in the air.
We just
came. From the gods!
Just yesterday, an entire field of dead came back to life, and now we come in here and you have these abominations. What do you mean, what do we think of you?
And what do you think of me?
This guy isn't the Phantom of the Opera, I swear to God. I want to wring his neck.
I think...
Do you love me?
I think you're hiding something, and I think she's suffering because of it. That's what I think. I don't care about you, I care about her.
And this is my point. You three who know nothing of me, or what I do, or my life, you each already have assumptions that I am dangerous, hiding something, that I am guilty of a crime I have not committed. What kind of world awaits for someone as gentle as my sweet Savram when people are so cruel and so quick to judge? The world would not be safe for her. The world would not accept her. The same way that strangers such as you do not accept me.
I think you're jumping the gun here, so to speak.
Perhaps the same could be said of the three of you.
We haven't laid a hand on you. All we want is answers.
I don't see what that has to do with anything I've just said. But... as for answers, I will provide what I can. And then, only as a courtesy for what you have done.
Scarab wipes his mouth. He's done. If you'll allow it, he's done vomiting.
I think you're okay.
There's nice, nice yellow puddle in the corner. He starts walking back. He wipes his mouth. He spits on the ground. Sorry! Comes close.
Look, man, you're assuming a bit much about us, brother.
Still a little high.
Now, this undead business, it looks bad, okay? But if I'm really assuming anything, it's not about you in this tower. It's about Creed Manor. So if you want to point some blame to them and send our crazy asses over there, do it. Because we just... killed so many undead in the graveyard, and then to find them here? Come on, man, looks bad.
The graveyard?
Yeah?
How many?
Dozens.
Hordes.
Hordes?
Four hordes at least.
He weakly pushes himself to a knee and stands up before turning to one of the tables, and he begins flipping through books. just pages after pages looking, tossing
he's
a book aside,
a spell.
Going through more. No, no. That should not be possible.
Rudmore, your beard, please.
Are any of you here capable of magic?
Yeah. Looks at Rudmore, looks at his beard, looks back at Rudmore. Please wash your beard, brother.
Torag grants me powers. Still tired.
Are any of you aware of the cost for such a summoning? The amount of sheer magical power it would take to raise so many.
Can I do a, like a...
Sure, give me an arcana.
Yeah, Scarab looks at Monet as well, who, as far as Scarab is concerned, is made of magic.
I mean, that's...
And it's just like, yeah, I don't...
She's a magic man, whoa!
Also, come on, man. Yeah, Rumor's a little high as well. Still
feeling it. You can, like, we had a scary, like, talk about paranoia, brother. I thought my friends were zombies.
Hey, man, you including me in this attacking you bullshit? Like, no, I didn't. I thought, like I said, somebody minding his own business.
But you said until. Until you did, I heard you. You said until the zombies.
That is correct.
Also, so then you walk when in, you say until, you ignore
sudden,
everything you said before that.
There's zombies.
It's like when you say, I'm sorry, but then it's like, what, are you really sorry? Or
this guy got an attitude all of a sudden.
I don't know, if I come to somebody, if I go to somebody's apartment and I'm looking for cookies and they got a couple bags of cocaine on the table, you can just be like, hey, why'd you come in here? Like, hey, man.
How did these...
I smell the cookies.
How do
you break into somebody's house? You find something illegal, and then it's like, hey, no, you're the bad guy here.
I'm here looking for cookies, man.
I'm just an innocent robber. I'm not a drug dealer.
Look, man, I just want cookies. I stopped eating meat recently, and I need some sustenance.
How did these undead get in here?
Well, also, Rumor, we did not attack him. We came in here to check on the girl.
Right.
And then we heard her scream.
Yeah.
And Rumor's
defense.
You didn't
say that you attacked him. Nobody
well,
said that
Rumor
you...
did.
Yeah, Rumor did. So
that's
yell at Rumor.
That's what I was doing. I was pointing at Rumor.
Flayleaf.
But Rumor's defense, look, I kind of got a thing about undead. He healed us against your undead, and the girl got hurt.
18.
You know that in order to... Resurrecting the dead, necromancy, is absolutely possible in the hands of a capable caster. However... The scale of undead summoned there would have to have gone unnoticed for an exorbitant amount of time to build up the number of summonings required, and they would have had to have maintained themselves underground simultaneously. It's, you know that it would be unlikely for...
This is next level magic.
Any ordinary caster to just be like, summon four hordes.
No, this is some. This is like
it's level, a relic of some sort that gives the ability.
This is level 7 and beyond. This is some. This is not anybody's run of the mill.
This would be like beyond even.
Or not
a
level 7
in the teens.
Not level 7 person, but level 7 spells.
Right.
If I'm remembering correctly, this is big. This is big ish.
It would be unlikely through your knowledge of magic that it was something that one person could do.
Big magic.
Magic.
Magical man.
Monet, the pictures.
Right.
Does it look like him? Look, man, there's just a lot of reasons we came here. We walked by your place. You were under suspicion, for sure. And then we heard the screams.
I have always been under suspicion. It's understandable.
Can we help with that? Hear us out. Just hear us out.
Scarab does want to, like, compare these, show him these pictures, see if he gets anything off of it, and see if the man in one of the drawings resembles
sure.
him.
He, as you present him the pages, he takes a moment turning from his books, and he...
There were symbols on them too, right?
Looks at them. One of them had a strange, there, where are they? I think they went on the shelf. Yes, on that white box behind you, Matthew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have them written down.
No, they're there. I set them aside just in case. They're there. Calm yourself. They're around.
There's the man. There is the person, looks like maybe a cult cow skull on their head. This strange Pokeball looking artifact and or a top-down view of a device, and then the zombies with the eye, or presuming zombies, undead. But does he look like this man?
He vaguely, maybe, resembles the man. The man in the picture has his hair covering his face, and it is long, scraggly black hair, which Charvaros does have. Mm-hmm. His hair is long and greasy.
Scarab. But if this was Drasmorg, Monet probably would have recognized him.
Which, right. Monet did think it kind of looked like Drasmorg.
For sure. Scarab doesn't want to come at this man with accusatory stuff, though he has grounds to just with the undead girl. Scarab is more, just for you as a DM to know, Scarab is more worried about Creed Manor.
Do you know anything about this?
Because as far as Scarab's concerned, the man in the picture looks just like him. Exactly like him. He's not being accusatory, but, you know, he's a kobold.
So he goes through each of the pages. And, you know, I presume the one in front is the one that you think looks like him. Mm-hmm. And he immediately just, like, flips that one to the back. And then he flips another one to the back. And he flips the third one to the back. And then he stops for a moment. And you see his face go even more pale.
Mm-hmm. Do I pick...
Where did you get this?
And he shows you the symbol of the circular rune-like mm-hmm. thing.
Varen, the gravekeeper, he's been having visions. His visions are the only reason I thought to go to the graveyard. Where, upon arrival, hordes. These pictures were in his hut. Hutch. His house. It's a small house.
Kind of like a shack.
It's little. We're smaller than yours. What the
maybe
fuck?
Maybe even a shed.
The books that he
why was... do you own this? Where did you get this? You fall into money? Nepo baby. I'm sorry. I'm lit.
Of the books that he was looking at, he shoves a pile of them off the table onto the floor, slamming the page down as he begins furiously flipping through and just tossing books. Fervently looking until eventually he finds one and he flips it open to a page and he reveals it. He shows you the book. It is a black leather-bound book with cracked leather and it is inlaid with silver. The title of the book in a thin, scraggly calligraphy reads, Whisperings in the Dark. And as he hands you the book, he says,
What know each of you of Tar Bafon?
Ah, religion check, I'll tell you.
Is it a religion?
This would be a history check, so give me society. I would also be willing to accept Arcana. And you know what, go ahead and give me, yeah, I'll take religion as well.
Ah, okay.
So, any of those three.
Thumping his Bible.
I was like, +0, +0, there we go.
Okay, come on, baby. Come on, let's go.
So society, arcana, or religion?
17 religion.
12.
I'm going to do something silly, and I'm going to throw in my episode PP for this.
Do it.
Interesting that I did. 26.
Few are alive today who don't know the name Tar Bafon. Or, more commonly, I should say, few who don't know the title of the Whispering Tyrant. Tar Bafon, you remember, was a powerful wizard king who once ruled over central Avastan at the end of the 9th century AR. He was killed by the god Aridin himself in 896 AR, and he rose as a lich, known as the Whispering Tyrant in 32 AR. He ruled the country of Ustalav for centuries.
The north.
He rose armies of undead and was a general threat to every living thing in all of Galarian. And when he seemed at his mightiest that he might overthrow the entirety of the living plane, the last crusade, the Shining Crusades, in 3827 AR, you recall that he was eventually toppled by the combined armies of Galarian, the most notable of which were the armies of Taldor, the Knights of Ozum,
yeah,
the Dwarves of Cragadan, These are the three more prominent of the forces that eventually were able to topple his armies and stop his inevitable march across Galarian.
Was it like 100 years
ago? That was in 3827.
Scarab feels a very... He doesn't know all this stuff, but all of that comes into his head.
So
it may come into everybody's, but he's knowing this stuff, and he's very surprised that he knows this stuff.
Yes. Must have read something or crossed with somebody who told you. It was one of those things
that's what he's telling himself, but there's more to it.
Yeah. I mean, less than 100 years ago, it was all anybody talked about for decades. It's only one of those things that's kind of faded into almost like myth or legend at this point.
But our boy's been in a cave for a long time.
Right.
This is strange for him to know.
As he hands you the book and asks you what you know and you reflect on it, he opens to a page he has leafed, and you can see...
Use a bookmark.
Yet savage. Another...
Are you a barbarian?
Throws the book away, runs over,
a wizard.
Jumps out the window. Take care of my daughter!
Oh, finally.
That's all we had to do.
The page that he turns to has another crude drawing of the same seal. The same circular sigil that's drawn in one of Farron's charcoal drawings.
This is something he drew himself?
No. This is a publication.
Okay.
What's it say?
It's a depiction of one of the seals. You see, after the Whispering Tyrant was felled, so fearful were they of his inevitable return as the King of Liches, that they gathered their most powerful mages, and they wove even more powerful steel magic to seal him away. Deep beneath the gallows spire, they placed a massive seal to contain his unending evil. But they were paranoid, and from that seal they created three lesser seals to hold back that gate. What you see depicted is one of the lesser seals. One was taken allegedly by the Varisian army back to their lands before they were savaged by the dragon. Another to the Knights of Ozum, who swore to protect it within their order. And the third... Well, I believe the third is here.
The third one is here.
The third was left with the dwarfs of Kragadan. You see...
Scarab looks at Rootmore.
They sought to hide the seal.
I don't fucking know, man.
It's here.
They sought to hide their seal within the fires of Torag's Crag. Not many remember. Perhaps your people do, dwarf. But Droskar's Crag was not always named as such.
No! It was taken over.
It wasn't until the rending, when the volcano exploded, burying many of your people. Those that lived lost their way and their faith. They blamed Torag for their suffering, wondering if they were unworthy of him or undeserving. They turned instead to Droskar, and so the place has been named ever since. But since the fires, no one has seen the seal. It has been assumed destroyed or encased in volcanic rock.
Well, if it was destroyed, that would...
It would weaken the very door that holds back the Whispering Tyrant.
But do you think a clan of kobold could utilize it to raise the dead? You know, just an idea.
It's not the seal's purpose, but...
Could they have destroyed it? Look, what I'm trying to say is these dead have been coming from a clan of kobold. Putting it all together, they've been in the forest north of us. In the very graveyard here, it's spreading. And I think they're influenced by something else.
It would not be impossible. If the seal were to be weakened, maybe some of Tar Bafon's unholy essence is leaking forth. Perhaps his overwhelming necromantic energy could conceivably hold enough power to create so many undead as you say you've seen. But if that is so, this is very bad.
There's still the question left unanswered. Why did you have three undead in your home?
They were subjects of my research.
So you're a necromancer?
Put them in cuffs.
Kidding.
I never claimed such. I merely wish to understand. For my daughter.
Were they already corpses, or did they all of a sudden wake up?
They were not moving before today, if that was your question.
Right, so you didn't rise them?
Not to my knowledge.
But they existed on our plane.
Yes.
Important question. I'm not sure about the bodies in the graveyard. Cannot be too sure.
Yes, I was doing anatomical research.
Can I do retroactive check on the magic he was using on Saffron?
There is a feat for that, for recognize spell.
Yes. I would like to sense motive, though.
I would let you do an arcana check at a... It would be a very high DC to try to figure it out.
Sense motive on...
Sure, what's your bonus?
Plus 13 on if what he's saying is legit.
Based on what he's saying, it seems to make sense.
Okay.
You see that there are... on the edge of the room where there are like these, what you assume to be like counters, they appear to be like examination tables. And there are many texts spread about. Some of the ones that he's like shoved off on the floor are medical texts. And if you were to give a glance around the room, there's like an equal number of books on like the human body anatomy, medical texts, as well as a number of like magical texts depicting like the magic of the body, or there are a number of titles that jump out.
How to draw manga.
Yeah, that one's up there easily.
So what?
Where's
what
Waldo is in there somewhere.
What happened to your daughter? I assume she wasn't always like this.
She has always been like this. Savram.
He turns to her and he strokes her hair again.
Savram is... She is a Dampir. Half human, half vampire.
Look, I'm sorry. I'm a cop.
That's what I thought Monet was when I first met her. I mean, look at her. She's pale. She wears a big round hat.
She's beautiful.
That's a racist. Jesus.
Look, Rimord, you can't just...
Jesus.
Sorry. Different con.
Where the hell? No. Look, I have to ask. I'm a cop.
Flash his badge again.
Where does she get her blood?
It is of no concern to you.
I'm a cop, you idiot.
All I can say is it's not a tumor. No. Arm of the law or not, my family's business is none of yours. I have done nothing wrong. You Gotham. Can trust me.
I'm not resisting. I am not resisting.
I'm kidding. I'm so sorry.
No. Sure. I'll leave you alone for a moment.
So, I assume...
I want to roll that check at a disadvantage.
Please do.
Or was it a disadvantage? Or was it
that? It was a high
DC. You want to roll it at a disadvantage, you said.
I mean,
it was a high DC.
Yeah, I didn't mean to say disadvantage.
Can you roll lower than that?
Well, that's
that?
A shame, because you said it.
Oh, well, because you didn't say that before.
No, I said you'd roll it at a very high DC, but maybe I lower the DC and you take disadvantage.
Okay. You're not going to roll lower than...
It's 12. Yeah, you're not sure.
And what was that check for? What the magic was?
Yeah.
You can ask him.
I have detect magic, but detect magic just tells you if there's magic around.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, that does nothing
Not
for you.
Not what type, even though it's heightened three. It's
literally a reaction that you can get called recognize, I believe, recognize spell.
That's so silly.
But no, feel free
that's
to ask.
That's so funny that she's a Dampier, because that's literally that's what I thought Monet was. That's why when they first met, Rootmore was like, hey, you know, I do healing, so I just want to know just in case. Because I don't want to accidentally kill you, you know?
I don't want to kill you, right? You're not a Dampier, are you?
Oh, you're going to tell me okay, if you are. So, I mean, this question comes with no judgment, but I assume you're a Dampier as well?
No, I am a human.
Okay.
Ah, then what the hell?
The wife, her mother, Dampier.
No, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
No, there's, it's
oh,
not.
She got bit.
No, that's not how it works either.
Oh.
You weren't listening. Or you said the wrong word, but you meant another one.
Probably.
Try again, Rootmore.
I think you meant to...
I'm a little high right
What
now.
You meant to ask me, me was too, if her mother was a vampire. In which case, I definitely would not answer. I would just stare at you with my eyes.
Dampier.
Your wife is a vampire.
A Dampier is a half-human, half-vampire.
Right.
If her mother were a half-human, half-vampire, that would make her a quarter-human, quarter-vampire.
And we know we just call that damp.
Who's counting anyway?
It would make her three-quarters human and a quarter-vampire.
And those are those are damps and they live in Absalom.
You guys talk to this guy.
I'm trying, brother.
Trying to save you, man. So her mother was also... A half-human, half-vampire? Where are you getting that from, mister?
Whatever.
She's half and half. That means half had to come from somewhere.
Whatever, man.
So what were you doing to her?
I was saving her life.
How?
With magic.
What kind of magic?
None of your concern.
I don't know. Kind of looked like a grimace shake.
A lot of it could be the harm spell or possibly a soothe.
Damn it, how did he know?
Ah, because I do the exact opposite.
So necromancy.
Everyone knows purple's bad.
You're under arrest.
Even.
She's a cop too.
Everyone flashes her badge.
Isn't your badge like in the center of your hat?
Yep.
Flashes her badge.
Flashes her badge.
Throws hat.
Pulls back a robe. Oh god, no, the badge is up here. I forgot.
Not all necromancy is illegal.
Only in certain states.
Ask our friend at the church if she's ever brought anyone back from death. Yet the state does not frown on that.
That's because she lives in the church.
Unfair. I'm in the register.
Look, you need a license to practice here, brother.
She lives there. You don't live in the church. You live in a spooky tower.
This is a church. Two vampires.
God, stop this stupid. I hate this.
Look, I'm going to ask you fragmented questions. I'm not here to take you in or anything.
Please, if you're going to do that, do it piece by piece.
I will. Are you okay with that?
It's the only way I know how.
Okay, I'm going to ask you my first question. Is that cool?
Proceed.
Do you have business?
Well, stop there. Ask me the second.
Is that cool?
Now back to the first.
I'm going to ask you a couple questions.
That's not the question.
I don't remember, brother. He's fucking with me.
No, I would never.
Do you have business with the Creeds?
No.
Do you have...
I keep to myself, and they run their town as they please. They have not yet come to bother me or darken our door.
Do you have any issue with them at all?
Not so long as they leave me to my own. And my daughter to hers.
Have they ever not left you alone?
There was a time when I first came. Something about taxes, fealty.
They just give up?
Well, one cannot demand that which they cannot ask for. I did not give them the opportunity.
So the Creeds were here before you came.
Correct.
Ah.
Have you seen them face to face?
The only people I interact with are in the markets, on occasion. Every once in a while, I will visit that pleasant woman who runs the apothecary.
She's very nice.
She has a good stock, and she makes one hell of a pancake.
Is she a hag?
No, okay. I don't think so. She seems quite young.
Look, like I said, fragmented questions. I'm going to throw another fucking hard, fast one at you.
I was ready for this 3 questions ago.
Oh, I know. Do you think the Creeds are hags? Do they carry on the bloodline of this town?
I don't know what you mean.
Are you a hag?
No, I am a human.
Was your wife a hag?
No.
Okay, then we're good.
Otherwise, my daughter would not be dumped here. She would be a half-human, half-hag.
So your wife was a vampire?
What would you even call that?
Stop putting words in my mouth.
A vampire?
Hag-peer.
Hag-peer, you idiot.
Listen so seriously.
Hag-peer.
There's a real close-up of his eyes. His pupils are dilated and shaking.
Sweat running down his forehead.
Never have I seen such a horrid thing.
Look, I'm going to tell you the truth here. The undead business. This book. It is happening. And it must be connected to those catacombs.
If the seal were to remain, which I would assume based on recent events, then I believe that it would be somewhere within Droskar's crucible. Perhaps it escaped the wrath of the Rending. Perhaps there is an opportunity to stymie the breach of this seal. Or perhaps we are too late. We will not know until we know.
Look, I know I might be coming from like way out there. It's because I smoked a lot of flay leaf before coming here. I didn't want to break into your house, brother. But we heard the screams, and we had an inkling. Clearly something weird is happening here. And you can dodge that all you want. But if you want to help...
I don't think I've dodged anything. I think I've been very helpful. I gave you a lot of exposition as to what I think might be happening.
Where does she get her blood?
From me and her mother, as all children do.
Where's her mother?
She is not here.
That's clearly not the question he was asking.
I don't know. I don't know.
Was she one of the bodies we killed again?
You don't know where she gets her blood?
I don't know where her mother is.
Where does she get the blood that she literally drinks to stay, quote-unquote, alive?
She does not drink blood.
Oh, okay.
Okay, there we go. We're good.
That's what you meant. I thought you were talking about where's her other half her blood come from. It was like, from her mom. Come on. Like
we thought you were giving us a hard time.
No, that's just didn't understand. Frame your questions better, right? Be clear.
Well, I just, as a person who's been abducted by from the room by their window, I didn't know if she was getting around into town like that. There's got to be a better way.
I do not allow Savram outside for fear of what would happen. I am a human. And the people around me are humans.
Some of them.
The people around me are humans.
So you think that other races aren't people?
You're slow, but I like the way you think.
Okay. That's racist.
That's rough, yeah.
That's a strange assertion to make.
None of us are human.
I really support it.
I think we got what you say.
The people not in this room that are around me.
Not a single one of us is human.
The town is controlled by largely humans.
Maybe hugs.
Maybe. I know my kind, and I know how we treat the strange and the different. We are untrusting, and we spread, regardless of who that overgrows. Like so many weeds choking out a flower garden. I would not allow my delicate flower to the mouths of those wolves waiting.
I understand. As a kobold who was put at the stake, I get it.
And were you at fault?
No.
They merely assumed.
Of course they did, and I want to change that.
Because you were different.
Yes.
He turns back to you, Monet.
This is why. This is why she cannot leave. Not yet. Not until she is older. stronger, and capable of handling the evils of this world.
Is it okay if I still come visit? I'll just still be a cat, so she won't know that I'm a big lady with a metal hand.
If you didn't cause those zombies in the graveyard, we are not your enemy.
No.
Could... I do have one question.
Only one?
These zombies that popped up here, could this have been like a lightning rod from...
And then he holds up the picture of the symbol again.
If we operate on the assumption that the seal has cracked, and indeed that the Whispering Tyrant's energy is flowing forth from it, then it would stand to reason that any corpses could act as individual lightning rods, as you put it. Anybody, anything capable of being resurrected could be resurrected.
That's extremely not good.
No. There are many things that die here in the unforgiving lands, and many more things still that could come back if this is true.
Well, yeah, we fought one on our way back home.
What did you fight?
The greatest dragon man has ever seen. A great blue dragon. Massive. Blacked out the sky.
Unseasonable for this time of year to see dragons so far south.
Well, these guys saw it. It flew down upon us.
We didn't see it.
And a blue dragon, you say?
It was undead.
Did it unleash the rhyme upon you?
All things undead turn kind of blue. Who knows? I think it's a bit acid.
Monet, just let him have this one.
Okay, sorry.
Strange, I will have to make a note. Never
what
before have I
is,
heard of a blue dragon spewing acid.
We saw this creature. I saw this creature on the way to the crucible in question, alive, as terrifying as ever. And after we spent some time in the crucible, me with my new party, there were kobolds doing ceremonies and undead rising phantoms, even.
What sort of...
Oh, there are these weird squid things.
Ceremonies.
Under...
very eager to answer that question.
Did anyone...
Please, I've been wondering that for 30
episodes. Did anyone write the name? Oh my god, wasn't he a vampire? Wasn't there... they're following... The man, you know, mm-hmm. I know you know, but yeah. I feel like he might be a vampire.
Give me a second to go through all
if,
of my
if
notes.
You have
well,
it down.
Well, the one they're following, the deity they're following was a vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is a sanguineous demon that they are following.
Yes.
So he is technically supposed to be the demonic progenitor to vampires.
Did it start with an M?
That's so cool.
Yeah. I have it somewhere in my notes.
So it is written.
I just don't know. Yeah. It's,
Matthew's not going to remember his name, but I do remember this.
That's okay. I can scroll really far back in the book.
Scarab been holding at least this bit in his head for a while, because I don't know. Well, no, you guys were there when mm-hmm. we came across the cultists.
Yes, when you encountered Kerdramak.
Scarab would be digging in his brains and just say out the name Kerdramak as he... As he's describing these...
He had been preaching the wisdom of Lorcan.
Yeah, and he would be very adamant on the fact that they left the way of the dragon and started following this false god.
Just to refresh your memory, Lorcan is an infernal duke and a powerful, unique devil. Not a demon, a devil. Lorcan shares the infernal kingdom of the Revenant Court in Malbolge. And his fellow Duke, Ruthvane. He wages a subtle war.
No relation!
Sorry, Rootmore. Duke Rootmore?
No relation!
I just did a slow look at the mod.
It might be Ruthvane. It's spelled Ruttvein.
Hey guys, we should totally go kill that fire dwarf. We should totally go kill him. Just perfect! Yes, so, I arise! It's me, Rootmore the demon.
Lorcan is an infernal duke. a powerful devil, and he shares in the Infernal Kingdom of the Revenant Court, he shares a area with Rutvein, and he wages a subtle war with him for the souls of their vampiric worshippers.
Yeah, dog. Whoa, hey. Okay. Huh. Scarab will just, like, kind of vomit this stuff out. He's touched by his newfound moss upon his body, and he starts throwing these things out. Because the vampire thing was odd. I don't... Again.
Who was her mother?
He looks at Savrum.
It matters not. She is gone.
It could matter. Could matter as much as any of this.
In what world could it matter?
Galarian. I'm just trying to make any of this make sense. Over the past couple of days, I have been seeing visions of something that I've been told about for years and never chose to believe. But now I've been given forced visions.
He looks down at Tricky, who he sits upon again. This moss and vine covered boar.
Visions of undead. Visions of undead rising from the earth. I've heard worse than I've seen in these visions of what is to come. This whispering tyrant. Speak of old ones. Ones far gone. Nature is fighting a losing battle. And it is my mission to do anything I can to stop it.
And I wish you luck. However, if our assumptions are to be true, and I believe them to be such, then Savrum and I will have to be long gone and far away from here. As far away as we can get from whatever grasp the Whispering Tyrant is trying to take. I will not let my darling daughter become a thrall to that heinous abomination.
My friend, as far as history is concerned, if this Whispering Tyrant gets out, there's nowhere to hide.
Not at first. Maybe not even with enough time. But every moment I can give her a piece, I would spill gallons of blood just to save her.
If I could recommend, Shadow Absalom would probably accept her.
We have a summer home there. It's quite nice.
Where I'm from. It's my hometown.
No way, you're from Shadow Absalom?
Yeah, I am.
What part?
Whoa!
The Lower East End.
Oh my god, we're like neighbors.
Oh my god. That's crazy.
I will take her as far away as I can, here. And when that fails, we will go elsewhere. And when that fails, elsewhere. But if I am wrong, or if I am right but you can fix it, then maybe we will have nothing more to fear than that which we have always feared.
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to fix it, and also change of management possibly to where you and your daughter can freely move about town. Nobody will mess with you.
I still think you should go to Shadow Absalom.
It's a nice but idealistic thought. Regardless of who is in power, people will always be people. We will always find moments to let the rot creep back in, even in paradise. As I said, Savrum will be free when she is capable of breaking her own chains. Until then, it is my duty as her father, as her only blood, to protect her.
You guys, I think this guy's cool.
Thank you, I think I did a good job.
I have an aversion to all of this. A newfound hatred for the undead. I'm not used to seeing them. Just inklings among my people. And now to see my own kind raising them.
There is something to be said for the dead. In a way, they have already served their penance.
I try to tell myself these things. Try to tell myself these things as well. But I can't run from this.
And Scarab just holds up his arm, and you see the little vines and stuff kind of dancing around his scales.
Fascinating.
He moves in and he grabs your arm and begins looking it up and down.
Have you come in contact with any parasitic vegetation? Any kind of leeching or grabbing plants?
It looks deep in this man's eyes. He's... What age? Does he look like an older...
Yes, he's probably in his late 50s, early 60s. He's clean-shaven, so there's not much of a beard there, but his features are gaunt. His skin is pale, and there is a bit of sag and wrinkle to them. Mm-hmm. His eyes especially look very heavy, like many nights have been lost without sleep, and there's a sadness to them as well. His hair is, as I said before, long, scraggly, black, and oily, and he's rather thin in frame, but not hunched.
Would you permit me a test?
Sure.
This might sting.
And while holding your wrist with his right hand, his left cuffs around your wrist, and he very abruptly slides upwards, uprooting a bunch of the vines that are on your arm. And there is a excruciating amount of pain that overwhelms you. Like, your eyes almost begin to see white, and you can feel like a screaming in your brain.
I was just gonna say, Scarab's vision goes white and like a pixelated scramble of everything in view just flashes before
him. You take 4 points of psychic damage.
Scarab dies.
As this happens, he removes his hand, and while there's no external noise, almost immediately from the bare part of your scales now exposed, you can see small sprouts almost immediately just begin to unfurl and pop up like fresh seedlings taking root. And in a matter of moments, the vines have completely replenished themselves.
Scarab is reacting as if he just got the air knocked out of him.
Fascinating. Never have I seen such a thing. Are you the subject of a curse? Have you angered a druid, a forest spirit? Perhaps you kicked a wisp?
Scarab looking down, looking at this man, seeing all these books that he has, this one of the Whispering Tyrant as well.
Do you know of the Queen Mother, who now resides in the Hungry Mountains?
And Tricky steps forward.
No. Never have I heard such a title.
I was hoping it was something that I was just running from, but I believe it now to be true.
I too,
looking at Monet,
recommend Absalom for you and your daughter. But if what I'm seeing is true, It too will be covered in undead.
The dead do not rest. It is their one advantage. And should the Whispering Tyrant return, only time separates complete oblivion. Tell me, are you familiar with the ancient elves?
Somehow.
When they first arrived to Galarian, for they are not from here, it is said, well, it is thought, either they brought or discovered something they only described as Teldar Odar Shanta. It means the World Tree.
Gah! I mean, Monet and Rootmore weren't there, but you were there, Scarab.
The
that big old 500-foot dark wood tree.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, that was, yeah.
Not much is written from the ancient elves, less still saved and shared among non-elves. But I have read that they believe that there is an energy or a life force or a being that is the world tree, something that they hypothesize to be the source of life on Galarian. Whatever magic grips you, friend, it is old. Maybe not that old, but it is old. But the time has come. These problems are yours. For come tomorrow, this tower will be empty. Savram and I will be long gone. So get out.
It's fair.
Moni's gonna take the badge off her hat and, reach it out to Chavaros and say, Can you tell Savram that a little black kitty came and brought this for her? I don't want her to think that I forgot about her.
I will do this.
Thanks.
Now go. I wish you luck. One way or another, Falcon's Hollow will ne'er have to worry about old Chavaram ever again.
If things go the way I'm seeing, they won't be here much longer.
That's bleak, man.
It is.
Come on, I'm trying to trust my and my daughter's future to you, and...
Yeah, no, I don't think you totally should fair, catastrophize a...
Is there any way you could help us?
No. I don't know what I could do.
You got this whole tower,
I gave you a lot of exposition. I pointed you in a good direction.
Come to
my home and you eat my cookies and you ask for a full meal, I... starting to feel a little one-sided.
It's fair. We did save y'all's lives, and just saying.
We would have been fine. You don't know that.
I think we should let this man take his water.
I'm sure casting harm on those zombies would have helped you a lot.
I know more spells than that.
Such a tall tower. There's probably a couple of treasure chests laying around somewhere.
Yeah, what do you got in your basement, then? I know you were in your basement last time I came to visit. What's down there?
A basement?
Yeah.
I don't have a basement.
You can't have a tower this tall without something supporting it underground. So either there's a big block of concrete or there's an extra room or two. Look, we're cops.
I'm ready to go.
And apparently architects. Hey, what are we doing here?
I'm not a cop anymore.
Please cut all of this. It's awful.
Savram's a cop now.
Are you a cop? You have to tell me.
Shakes his daughter.
You have to tell me. slap him.
Wake up. Wake up.
He bends down and he scoops up Savram in his arms.
Leave us. And good luck.
Good luck to you too. I hope you find a place where people accept you. And your daughter can frolic about as a normal person.
I'm telling you, buddy, it's Absalom.
Shadow Absalom.
Well, of course, I'm not trying to go there, but Absalom itself, you go to the right district and it's wild. You sell anything, I swear.
Yeah, it's not a bad place. I mean, it's a bad place, but it's not a bad place. You know, it's very busy. It's very busy. It's very busy. A lot of good and bad things happen there.
You can find happiness anywhere.
There's always a place you can lay your head.
Yeah.
Any place they leave me alone is fine with me.
There's a great mage's tower over there and a museum. It's fantastic. I've heard about it. We'll leave you alone.
Yeah, so I guess dibs on the tower?
Suits me fine. It will be empty. By tomorrow.
Where do you keep the deed?
Do you have a deed for this place? It's on... You're not under watch by the creeds. This is fair to ask, right? Can we use this place?
As awful as human assumptions are, I do find if they fear you, They will not challenge if you have a right to be here.
That's how I feel about Creed Manor.
Right. Well,
what about a nap? I know we just woke up, but I'm feeling extra tired.
Yeah, I'm pretty sleepy.
Oh, pretty sleepy.
Big morning!
All right, well, there's cookies on the counter. Help yourself. Go.
Oh,
get out.
Thank you.
Go. Away. Start shooting a gun. Get out!
As we're going downstairs, Rootmore's like, how about we just not tell anybody that he's leaving?
Why would we?
Yeah, why
exactly.
would we?
Exactly. Yeah.
We don't want him to be followed. He hasn't... I mean, if he has everything he did is... Whatever. He
more
didn't
power to
us.
Him and his daughter, but at the same time, free rent here, man. Come on.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
It's better to have the high ground.
Yeah. I like it here.
Yeah.
A little weird. Kitchen needs a little work. Oh, let me go back upstairs. Rubo runs upstairs.
Starts moving in.
You need to work on your kitchen!
Start going up the stairs. There's no more upstairs.
Oh!
I was gonna ask. I don't think Scarab would know, but is this one of those towers that just goes away?
Towers disappearing brick by brick.
Like, son of a bitch, now!
Damn it. He is much higher level than he let on.
Did you poop your
pants?
You
have like a good working kitchen. I'll have to work on it. But yes, I like it here.
I think it's a fair thing. I'm cool with it. Monet's cool with it.
Live in a tower. I get the bottom floor. I don't want, like, climbing these stairs.
Scarab having to heave himself up every step.
I'm doing this for... I could be on the back of Tricky, but this is for calisthenics.
Damn. I don't want to go there
as
with
you guys
two of us down.
Begin to head downstairs. You stop in front of the door. You're commenting on the kitchen. You grab your cookies, getting ready to leave. and you kind of hear what sound like bare foot pads on the stairs. Just like a little like clap, 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 clap coming down the stairs. And as you look towards the stairwell, you see what looks to be like a book kind of bobbing through the air.
Ew.
Before the padding stops and the book hovers in front of you. And then the book falls to the ground with a dusty thud. And on the ground in front of you is the copy of Whispers in the Dark. You then hear what sounds like a swift, like almost like bare feet spinning on dusty stone before you hear the foot claps again going up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
It's just Savrum.
I know, but that doesn't make it not creepy. Yeah.
I don't think it's creepy. I think it's cute. She's trying to help us.
Maybe cute, but IRL, that's so
gross,
scary. But but I like as a player, I agree that's so awesome. But
Monet will pick up the book and she'll frown.
You can come with us if you want.
You know what? I don't want to live here anymore. This place is creepy. It sucks. I'm scared. Rumor runs outside.
Sucks. I'm scared.
Yeah. As you run out the door, there's a portrait of Charvros above you and his eyes follow you out the door.
No!
No! Detect magic.
No magic. The door's locked. You can't leave.
Infidels!
The door shuts behind you.
Why?
Yeah, so.
Oh.
What's the plan now?
Quick 8-hour nap.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to go.
Let's see.
I don't want to go to the Crucible on low resolve.
Correct.
Because I got a feeling we're going to fight.
You don't want to go with no healing left and
no
resolve?
No.
I think it was a busy morning. Maybe we just go spend some time at the casino.
Yeah. Let's go to the casino. Yeah.
You spend a wonderful evening at the casino and you lose all of your money. It's really sad.
No.
It's a shame, but you know, such is the vices of gambling.
But we had fun, right?
But you had a great time.
Hey, see, I'm totally into that. I just don't want to waste a day by like, oh, I'm so sleepy all of a sudden.
I mean, you could also just, you know, if you need to do any market stuff, you can do market stuff. Say you're gonna prepare, you gather supplies, and then you call it in.
I'd say if God, I hate to play it this way.
I mean, you
but
know,
I
do
would,
it in Baldur's Gate, and you go and do one big fight, and it's like, you know what, I need a long rest, and then it's just the next day.
I'd
Surely
say,
nothing will change in the world for one more day.
If everyone, I'm so sorry.
I was just gonna comment on Baldur's Gate stuff. It's nothing. It's not.
I was gonna say if everyone's in on that idea, because we could like exit that book can drop. And we could step out the door, and if anything, almost unspoken, we all know where we need to go.
Oh yeah.
Like we all know where we need to go, and Scarab might just flippantly like, I'm gonna go around town and maybe spend some time in my room, right? We could big day tomorrow, right? Whatever people want to do, Scarab just he's gonna get some rest and he's going to ponder everything. But I do want to be fully ready before going in there.
Yeah, Rootmore is just gonna go straight to bed and he'll be ready in 8 hours to immediately go because time is very important, I think.
Any supplies y'all need to stock up on or any of that? Because do bear that in mind. You're here. If you're gonna buy, buy. If not, we go.
Yeah, Scarab is gonna wave off Monet and Rootmore and nod in an understanding of what they need to do, which is go to the Crucible and see if they can find this symbol and perhaps put a stop to all of this. Scarab will reach to Monet and ask for the cold iron short sword that they have. He would like to have it melted down and added to his weapon, especially with the confirmation that this could be work of demons. Having a cold iron pistol could be pretty good. So he'd like to go take care of that and spend the rest of the day in his room.
Okay, and as you each bed down to rest in preparation for your journey, I'm going to need each of you to roll me a will save.
Oh, again.
Daily peepee, here we go.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, you know what? I think I'll also do that.
Cash him in.
It's very important.
Scarab's going to free ball.
Especially
this
for you, Monet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I'll use mine. I'll use my special one that I tried to use multiple times last ep.
Can't touch this.
My god.
Rootmore, what'd you get?
31.
Beautiful. Monet?
28.
Awesome.
Or if you want the lesser one, 28.
Okay. And for you, Scarab.
So yeah, that would be a 20.
As each of you beds down for the night, you find yourselves in a fitful and unrestful sleep. Once again, each of you is plagued by visions of this massive, looming kobold, though this time his back is facing you, and one glowing yellow eye peers from underneath his skull crown as he looks back at you.
You are too late. You are too late.
Before he begins to fade, each of you begins to feel an overwhelming sense of dread, Monet, one that's familiar to you now, almost like nothing will ever be okay again. But Rootmore, as you dream and this feeling begins to set over you, the darkness is slowly overwhelmed by a bright orange light. And long above you is the glowing visage of Torag smiling down on you as you hear the tinking of his hammer on an anvil, and you see him smile upon you with grace. Monet, you in the same situation begin to feel that overwhelming sense of dread, but just as it begins to set in, you see visions of your family, each of them holding each other and looking at you longingly and lovingly. You know that they didn't necessarily want you to end up where you are now, but you feel like that doesn't matter, that they hold a love for you, that warmth that can reach you even here, and you don't feel doomed anymore.
Yes.
And Scarab, as you dream, there is a moment where the darkness becomes oppressive. The visions begin to fade, and once again, you're kind of left in this same scenic black void with a almost liquid-like floor. But just as you begin to feel despair, there's a small glow from around your feet. Small sprouts begin to form in the darkness. And before you, you find a beautiful verdant field covered in a light mist of dew, and you feel at peace, and you are not doomed.
Wow.
Heavens.
And that's all the time we have for this week.
Oh.
Okay.
The cursed caravan uses trademarks. The cursed caravan uses trademarks and/or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. Used under Paizo's community use policy, paizo.com/community use. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. The Cursed Caravan is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo's products, visit paizo.com. The Cursed Caravan theme music and the beat you're hearing now is written by Matthew. Our Matthew. We would like to thank Michael Gelfi Studios, the World Reference for tabletop RPG audio, for the music and ambiance that we use in our episodes.
Thank you, Michael Gelfi.
Thank you, Michael
Gelfi. Thank you.
You can find out more about Michael Gelfi at michaelgelfi.com. Check out their Patreon and YouTube links in the description. Leave us a comment and rate us 5 stars on your podcast app of choice. Emma, do we have any comments?
Yes, we do. This is episode 33 of Crown of the Kobold King. This is the episode where we were gambling and stuff.
Okay.
Good app.
I won a lot of money then.
Yeah, that was a fun time. We were gambling, and then at the end of the day, before Scarab went to go talk to Bloodeye,
yeah,
three of our characters are sitting down just relaxing at a table, watching some blues play, a lady singing and stuff.
That's nice. What I would give to go back.
Mm-hmm.
This comment's from the Friendly Dagger. And he said, I need a depiction of the Salma Hayek dance scene from Dusk Till Dawn reenacted with the party members.
That would be great. Bro, Dagger Man.
Yeah, good comment.
That is such a good scene. Such a good movie. But also, you can clearly see Quentin Tarantino's foot fetish in full display. There is no hiding it.
Unashamed, unabashed.
Look, Quentin, I don't want to ruin the chances of us ever working together, but brother, that was weird, man.
Very real and likely chances.
Yeah. But it's so good with Cheech Marin. I don't want to give away the movie. It's so good.
I don't know that movie.
It's so good. I mean, it's so good.
I'm reading this one because, you know, you guys didn't know about this comment, right?
No.
Like, I'm reading this one right now because we actually did talk about From Dusk Till Dawn.
Did we?
Yes. It's an outtake that I will put at the end of this episode.
Awesome. Good.
So it's very funny.
That is one of my... Was it me mentioning a part of a movie that scared the hell out of me?
Yeah. Him getting shot
in the hand. Yeah. I was talking about that. Quentin gets shot in the hand and it's awful. Ugh.
Anyways, you can leave more of those types of comments that make them happy.
them. Not me, particularly.
I'm not happy.
Don't like maybe, feet, Quentin.
Maybe talk about things that I'm interested in. Figure that out. On pretty much anywhere, Apple Podcasts especially, Spotify also lets you leave comments, and that one was from YouTube.
YouTube
because
fun.
We have a YouTube channel. It's The Cursed Caravan.
Oh, please go watch our Monster Prom videos. Mm-hmm. It's a good time.
We got really drunk and really invested in a very silly game where you try to find a perfect date.
And I would like to do it again. So more people that watch it, the more chances I get to do that again.
Yeah, episode 3 is coming out August 22nd.
That's
soon.
It could be before this comes out.
Who knows?
Or right after.
We'll find out.
Either way,
this
out.
Is late
go
news.
Check it.
It'll be out, I'm sure.
Yeah, either
this
way, go is, check yeah. it out. It's,
no,
it's,
it will be out. 100% it will be out. This is late news. Sorry.
It's a fun time.
Came out August 22nd. Why haven't you watched it yet?
Watch it. Share it. It's free to do both of those things, and it's just more fun for everybody.
Yeah, just more of us being, you know, our goofy selves.
Also, email us if you have any questions. We will also answer those on the podcast. So do that. All of our contact information is in the description, so you don't have an excuse. Mm-hmm. And thank you for being a traveler on the Cursed Caravan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
The grotesque looking one that's pulling at its own innards, making notes.
That's weird, man. What is this, Super Mario? What the hell?
That makes me think of, what is that vampire movie, Dusk Till Dawn?
Yeah.
Where they're playing the guitars made out of people.
Yeah. Was that a... That was Cheech, wasn't it?
It was one of the band members. Cheech was the door guy.
Yeah.
I can't remember what Cheech was doing.
Yeah, Cheech was...
No, he was the hype man.
He was the hype man. He was so good. He was so good.
Yeah.
I love that movie. Man. Boy.
I love it because I watched it not knowing what it was.
The twist is so good.
Yeah.
And I was so freaked out by Quentin Tarantino's hand, the hole in his hand. Because I saw that movie when I was like 9 or 10. And he got shot in the hand. And there's a moment where you like see through his hand. And that freaked me out as a kid.
Yeah.
Still does. I don't want to see inside. No, you shouldn't see that. No living person should have a hole in their... Well, that sounds terrible. Sometimes you end up with a hole in your hand, and that's just what happens.
Yeah, he is creepy in that movie. Very creepy.
creepy
guy.
That's here and there.
A good actor or creepy guy? I don't know. I guess that means he's a good actor. Question mark.
Well, I don't... I may be mistaken, but he may have directed that one as well. Because, of course, he's a director, but I don't know if he directed and acted.
No, he did. I'll look it up.
It's just, in retrospect, it's like, wow, he was really, he did a lot. I love that movie. Have you seen The Show?
No.
It's pretty good. The show, like, covers the movie in a longer form, and it's really neat.
Oh, no, he did not direct it.
Okay.
It was directed by Robert Rodriguez.
Oh, Robert Rodriguez is fantastic. But, definitely Quentin, he got...
Quentin was a writer.
He was a writer, and he wrote that foot scene where Selma Hayek put her foot, like, all up in his mouth, and he's now a known foot guy, so that's a little weird. I don't really...
I forgot about that.
Not really a vibe for me because that seems kind of... It's like if there was an episode of the podcast and there was just like someone had their booty in my face just for an episode of the podcast. And it's like, oh, this is artistic.
You're a booty guy.
It's like, that's not okay, man. keep that in the room, bro. Come on, Quentin.